So let us learn together V'yigadeta on Parshas Toldos. On the Pasuk of Ayisraetzis Rabbanim Bekirba V'atemirim Kein Lama Zeh Anoichi. So the Pasuk says that Rivka Imenu became pregnant, and during her pregnancy she experienced a lot of turmoil in that something happened. We're going to see the famous Chazal, what exactly was going on. But every time she was doing something, the children, the babies inside of her belly were running. And then that made her question her existence. Lama zeh anochi? So, al karchenu hamikra hazeh emer darsheni, shestam mahi ritzitzah. So what's going on? Where are they running these fetuses inside of the baby, inside of her stomach? Rabbi Seinu darshu lashon ritza. So Chazal, of course, say that it's a lashon of Vayisraitzitzu, is that they were running somewhere. Kishahaisa Iveris al Pischei Taira Shalshem Ve'ever Yaakov Ratzim Mefarches Lotzes. When they passed by the doorways of Yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, Yaakov was kicking and screaming to get out. Iveris al Pischei Avedezara. And when they passed by Beis Avedezara, Esav Mefarches Lotzes, Esav started trying to escape. Vatimer Imkain. And that's how the pasuk continues. If that's the case, gadol tzaribur, if the pain of this pregnancy is so intense, lama zeh anochi misava mispalelas al hayroim? Why am I was so intent, we were davening for so long to get pregnant, to have a baby, and the pain now is so great, I'm questioning what it was all for. What was the good of all of it if we're having such turmoil during the pregnancy and some questions of what's going on here. Obviously, I think the Vilna Gaon says a pshat on Lama Zeh Anochi is, he says that, meaning in a sense, she thought that there was one baby inside of her. Only when she went to Shem Ve'ever was she told that it was twins, but originally she thought it was one baby. So that would be very strange that one baby would be, would have such a split personality that he'd be running to try to get out of the base of Edizara. And then he'd try to go to yeshiva also, and he'd have like this dual interest in both the Rabbeinu Shalom and Avodah Zarah. So the guy says, "Lama zeh anochi? What's the anochi Hashem lekecha? Like, what's going to be with the Ikrei Hadas with this baby? How do you, how are we going to understand what's going on inside of me about Teich LeJewish Hashem?" And that's why she went to get some Das Torah about what's going on inside, and that's when she was told that they in fact were twins and they were two separate babies with two separate interests. Okay, so Yodua, this was all known. Whatever we learned up until this point was all famous and well known. Nu Tishalu Shela. So this is Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky talking. The Sefer like captured the way he spoke in a drasha, and he says he would call out to the chevra that was there, ask me a question. Nu, klum loikasha, no one has any shverkites with this chazal. Azani aksha, I'll ask. And he asked Taka a very good question. Kishahaisa veris al pesach peis hamedrish, pirches ha'echad lotzes. When she was passing by the yeshiva, so one was kicking to get out. Avra pesach v'edizara, pirches ha'sheni. The other one was trying to get out. Kai gadol ha'yetzar ha'ibur, ashikvar vitra alav. She already was like ready to like abort the whole pregnancy. So what's the question? As teishiv abayis v'leitis. What's she walking out so much for? Where is she? If every time you pass by Main Street, you pass by Young Israel, and the baby's kicking to get out, and then you pass by the church on the next block, the baby. So you know what? I'll give you a suggestion. Why don't you stay home? Instead of starting to get all crazy about, giving up the baby, like, stay home.
It's more of the, wouldn't it be more of the personality? You want to say the personality?
What do you mean?
If this is his, if he's got the, double standard, it won't help that. Or I'll stay home.
It seems like there was only a problem when she was passing by different different religious buildings, right? That's his question. Shmiras Hayrayim, like, be careful, like, you know, you're at a high-risk pregnancy, so just stay in bed all day. What are you running around that side in the first place for? Nope. Sheila Tova, is this a good question? Asma Tshuva, so what's the answer? And Atshuva Pshuta, Bebayis Savla Shivasayim. The answer is that in the house, she suffered sevenfold. Whatever she may have felt as she walked by the yeshiva, the shul, and then when she passed the church, but when she stayed home, it was much, much worse. Einchem evinim, you still don't understand what I'm saying? Az aspir, allow me to explain. Bechol echad me'itanu mekananim lemaisa Yaakov Esav. This is a very important yisai that he's sharing with us tonight. In every single one of us, we have a shtickle Yaakov and a shtickle Esav. We know that, right? I'll give you an example, a great vart from the Kotzker. The Kotzker says that in the parsha of, with the brachas of Yaakov and Esav, so when Yaakov stole the brachas from Esav, so it says that Vayehi, Ach, Yatza, Yatza, Yaakov. Yaakov left the room, he, you know, exit stage left, and then Esav, Ahi Esav, Esav comes out from the field, you know, and bringing his own meal to Yitzchak Avinu. So the Kotzker says that's the way it is with life. We have all a Yaakov inside of us, and we have an Esav inside of us. And he says that when Yaakov leaves, if Yaakov leaves, then what happens? Esav jumps right in. As soon as there's a vacuum of Yaakov inside of us, then it doesn't stay empty. Esav is able to right away come in. And my Rebbe in ninth grade used to say that this is something that is important to bear in mind on Matzai Shabbos. He used to say that on Matzai Shabbos, you find that in the world at large, but even in the frum world, even the Jewish world, but Bedar Klal, Matzai Shabbos is a time of tremendous tumah in the world. Everybody, you know, you go to Manhattan on Matzai Shabbos, everybody's out partying and reveling and, you know, bars and, you know, it's Lebedik. They're going to the movies Matzai Shabbos and they're going here Matzai Shabbos and, you know, everything is have the night of the most Tumah in the world is Matzai Shabbos. So, Stam, you'll say the reason is because, okay, that's they have off from work, and then, but he says the pshat is that Shabbos is Kedusha that's filling the world. It's full of Kedusha, the world. And Matzai Shabbos, when we make Havdalah, and Klal Yisrael is Mavdil Mekadesh L'Chayil, so Shabbos leaves. It's like Yaakov Avinu leaving the stage. As soon as Yaakov Avinu leaves the stage, Esav comes in. And therefore, that's why on Matzai Shabbos, there's an abundance of tumah that floods the world because the Kedusha of Shabbos that was so intense is no longer, and Memela, it has to get filled. That vacuum of Kedusha gets filled, and if we don't fill it with Kedusha, it gets filled with Rachman al-San tumah. That's why, you know, it's so important on Matzai Shabbos to be in the right places and to do the right thing and to, you know, to do Malav Malka and to learn and do all good stuff on Matzai Shabbos, because if not, you know, sometimes, you know, you get like that itch, like to do something maybe that's inappropriate. And that itch comes from the fact that there's a vacuum of Kedusha. As soon as there's a vacuum of Kedusha, you have to, you know, people, like you start, let's do this, let's go bowling, let's go play pool, let's go to the movies, let's watch a movie, let's, you know, you have to fill it with something because there's a lack of Kedusha at that point. So that's why Merabi used to say that you should, he used to say, don't ever get out of your Shabbos begadim, Matzai Shabbos, until you go to sleep. You know, a lot of times, what do? We get out of Radish after Shabbos is over, you go back to the room, and you start putting on your weekday clothing, and, you know, and you do whatever you do during the weekday. And, you know, he just gave us an eitz. I remember it was actually my 7th and 8th grade Rebbe. It was the same Rebbe for 7th and 8th grade. I was left back. So he used to say, he said that, you know, for my sake, I remember he said it so clearly, He said, for my sake, just every, until this day, like every Metzalei Shabbos, whenever I like have a Havamina like to start changing, I remember, you know, my Rebbe Olav Shalom saying, you know, just for my sake, don't change until you go to bed, and I keep your Shabbos Begadim on. Because when you start switching into other Begadim, you get that, you know, that itch to do something that's not appropriate. And you'd be, it's understandable, it's not just you, it's that's the Metzias in the world. In the Teva of the world, Metzai Shabbos, the whole world is going crazy because there's a vacuum suddenly of tremendous Kedusha. So we all have inside of us this Yaakov and this Esav. It's sort of like the, you know, the good angel and the bad angel that are vying for our attention at all times. Kisha Haisa Everas Apiskei Tairal Shal Shem Ve'Ever, Yaakov Ratz Umefarches Latzes. When Rivka Imena passed by the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, Yaakov started trying, clamoring to get out. And what he homiletically explains this to mean is, Kisha Yesh Kishmak Balimud, when you really enjoy learning, and Kisha Misrainin Betfila, when you are elevated, when you're inspired in davening, B'malchias Zechrenis V'Shaifris, during those elevated moments on Rosh Hashanah, Malchias Zechrenis V'Shaifris, B'Simchas Torah, B'Lel HaSeder, the night of Pesach night, B'Lel Chag HaShavuos, the learning on Shavuos night, when you have those really special moments on the calendar throughout the year, Ay, Kasher Kule LaHashem, when a person is thinking that it's all Hashem, Azay Ashreinu Matayv Chalkeinu, those are moments that we have no doubts about our amuna, we have no doubts about our commitment to Yiddishkeit. Everything is geschmack, everything is going well, everything is crystal clear in our world. Because we have Yaakov. Kishahaisai veres apiskei avayda zara, when she was passing by the base of avayda zara, I sham esa mefarches latzis. At that moment, Esav starts scratching and itching and jumping to get out. Who is that Esav? Esav Shebanu. The internal Esav, ki be'idna di'etzahara, les dimadkar li'etzahatayv. Kishe yetzahar shaylet, nelama yetzahatayv. When during those opposite times of year, not Shavuos night, not Pesach night, not Simchas Torah, not the times that we feel so close to the Rabbi Nishlam, but those other days of the year that we're not so close to Rabbi Nishlam, that we feel a little bit of an emptiness and we're attracted by the wrong things, then the Yetzahara makes us try to scramble to escape. We know that feeling, right? We have sometimes feelings like we want to go to yeshiva, we want to go to the Beis Medrash, we want to learn. Then we have those days that, I want to stay in bed. I don't want to daven, I don't want to learn. I want to play video games, I want to watch a movie, I want to go to the city, whatever. We have moments that we have Yaakov inside of us. Then we have those moments that we have Esav. This is all of us. We all have this. It's not something that any of us, no one just has a Yaakov inside, no one just has an Esav. That's how the Rabbi Nishlam wired us. Now, ukisha yeshvim ba'bayis, when you're sitting at home, which we thought was a good idea for Rivka to do to escape, you know, these pangs of trying to run to yeshiva, run to the church, leisham leisham. When we're sitting at home and neither here nor there, azai misgaisheshim heim, azai oyli mi yitzriim elach achra yitzri. When we're actually doing something, when we're outside and we're going to the Beis Medrash, we're going to the Beis Medrash, that's geschmack, that's great. When we're actually engaged in going somewhere that we're not supposed to, we're going somewhere that's clear exactly what we're doing, and hopefully we're doing the former way more than we're doing the latter. But when we're at home and we're just like, it's all in our minds, we're thinking about doing stuff. So now, this is when there's like a very big struggle, an internal struggle of Ay limi yitzri. Woe is to me from my creator. I'm afraid of the Rabbi Nishlam on one hand. On the other hand, I'm afraid of my Yitzhara. I want to listen to the Rabbi Nishlam, but then the Yitzhara pulls me to be Mahara about other things. I want to do my Yitzhara, then the Yitzhara pulls me in another direction. that's a lot more painful in a sense than actually doing something. When we're doing something, at least we have a direction that we're doing it. It's not necessarily always a great direction, but at least we're actively doing something. But when we're sitting at home and we're just not doing anything, we're just like being in the middle of a tug of war between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov, and back and forth, should I do it, shouldn't I do it? Indecisiveness, Yetzer HaTov, Yetzer Hara, the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Satan, all of these things is the most painful thing, and it makes a person go crazy. Vas tutmen ma'asim, what do we do? What to do? Halan netzach yiskay shishu, im kein lamazanech, am I going to be struggling like this forever? Am I going to always be like having these internal strifes, these internal battles between inside of me? What am I? Who am I? Existential questions about my very nature. Where am I heading? What do I want in life? That's very painful. That's why it's very hard for us to spend too much time with ourselves. The famous thing, you go into a car, and what do? As soon as you come into the car, after you turn on the ignition, you either turn on the radio, you turn on a shir, you turn on the news, you turn on talk radio, whatever it is that you're doing. But why don't you just drive the car and think? Why don't you just why do you have to always have like that? As soon as you come into the car and you're driving somewhere alone, you have to start doing something. Or you see people on the street, they're always with their ear pods and with the listening or talking, or they're never just sitting on an airplane, on a bus, everybody's always filling their mind with noise. Why is it so bad just to sit and think? The answer is because it's very painful to sit and think, because then we have to think about who we are, what defines us, what makes us tick. The Eitz Sahara telling us one thing, the Eitz HaTayv telling us another thing, and this internal constant struggle that we have inside is very, very difficult to sustain. A person would rather just keep listening every 22 minutes to 10:10 Wins News, a chazar on top of a chazar, again, same news, same stock market, same everything. How many times can you listen to the same garbage? I'd rather listen to that than listen to the internal stuff going on. Because it's very hard. A person, when they think and they have to really try to figure out who they are and what they are and make decisions, and I want to avoid myself. I don't want to spend time with myself. So she did not want to stay home. That was the worst scenario to have, to be home. And of course, it's a mushel for us. When we do one thing, when we do another thing, that's half a thing. But when we're home and we're just thinking, that's very painful. So taking this to the next level, so what does the Torah say? She went to be Darish as Hashem. What exactly does the Torah say to do in our situation? Vayomer Hashem la, shnei goyim bevitnech, u'shnei lumim mimeach yiparedu. You have two nations inside of you. And you have two powers that will separate from birth. Ula imilam yamatz, and when one is great, the other one will not be great. And vice versa. And Chazal Darshan, case of Yerushalayim, this is talking about Caesarea and Yerushalayim. Im yamilcha adam char v'shtem, somebody tells you that both Rome and Yerushalayim were destroyed, al tam, and don't believe them. Yashvu Shtem, they are both doing really well. Al Taman, don't believe that. Charva Yushalayim, Yashva Kesri. Or Charva Kesri, Yashva Yushalayim. If one of them is intact and one of them is destroyed, those you could believe. Shenemar, Amra Tzur al Yushalayim, Imala Hecharava. Imalea Zu, Chareva Zu. When one is full, the other one is destroyed. V'nemar ula'im milayim yamatz. That's the Gemara in Megillah. So b'roishu v'rishon yesh ladas shekechol shemegadlim kayach hayetzer atayv b'tayr av mitzvos mimazazim mizarim kayach hayetzer. The more that you strengthen the kayach of the yetzer atayv and tayr mitzvos, the more you will vanquish your yetzer. This is Hashkafa 101. I was giving a shir the other day to one of the shirim, and we're having a discussion. One of the boys In the shir, we're saying that we're getting into a discussion of like, is it usher to think about doing averus? Is usher to fantasize about doing averus? So I told him, he says, it's my brain, I'm not doing anything, so it's okay. So I said, it's not okay. And not only is it not okay, the Gemara says that Gadol hirur avera, yaseh me'avera gufa, that even the thinking about an avera is worse than the actual doing of the avera. Thinking about an avera is worse than doing an avera. What's a pshat? Why is that? Why is that? If I think about doing an avera, it's worse than doing an avera? He said, okay, great. You know, next time I'm about to think about doing something, I'll just go and do it, and then like it's going to be better. So I explained that there's a nefesh achayim that says that the body, the human anatomy is very, it's comparable to the Beis HaMikdash. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that if you could track where the human, where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in the body, it's the mind. The Mayach is really the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That means the holiest part of the Beis HaMikdash in the human body, in our internal Beis HaMikdash, is the mind. And he says that when you think about doing an Avera, this is a very hard thing to understand, when you think about doing an Avera, it's sort of like being Machnes Zayna Lehechel. When you think about doing some immoral activity and you're fantasizing about that, it's like you're doing the worst Avera, like what Titus did during the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that he took a Zayna into the Hechel and on top of a Sefer Torah did the worst unthinkable, unspeakable things. That's what a person is doing, because you're being machnes in your mind, and your mind is pure holiness. You're being machnes, a tzelem behechel. So in a way, when you think about something on a very spiritual level, you're doing a much worse thing than an activity, because you're bringing into a place that's supposed to be so holy, tumah. The Rambam says, by the way, that, you know, why are we maharib with stuff? Why is it that people, you know, we do tend to think a lot about, you know, forbidden stuff in our minds? So the Rambam says, gives us like an etza. He says that, sort of like what we were saying before about Yaakov and Esav with a vacuum, he says that the only time that a person has hirhurim in his mind of bad stuff is by a mind that's panui min achachma. That means that if a person is thinking and learning, if a person goes to sleep at night with a kasha and wakes up with a teretz, you know, that means your whole mind is like sort of formed and molded and shaped by the Torah, and you're just thinking about learning, and you're on a plane and you have a, you know, you're thinking about a chiddush, or you're working on a mahalach and a sugya, or on a rashi on the parasha or something. You have something in your mind that you're thinking of and it's holy, then you're not going to start having a hurim. If a person's like a Ben Torah that's really shakua and learning, he's not going to all of a sudden start fantasizing about crazy stuff, because his mind is so saturated with Torah that he doesn't want to think about anything like that. The only time that a person does think about stuff like that is when you're not holding and learning. When you're not busy with learning and your mind is just sort of empty and there's a vacuum of Yaakov in your mind, then Esav comes in and jumps in and fun. But if you're busy with learning, the Rambam says, you're not gonna, you know, it's a good way, it's a good litmus test to see whether your mind is really shaku and learning. If your mind is shaku and learning, according to the Rambam, you're practically never gonna have any hirhurim run. If your mind is not, then your mind is, you know, just, you're lying in bed, you're thinking about nothing, you know, thinking about nothing. The next step, you're gonna think about something. And that's probably not gonna be in learning, you're probably gonna think about other stuff. So he says that what you learn from this chazal about la'ayim milayim yametz, that when one is really powerful, when you have a really powerful Yaakov, then Esav is going to sort of be dead, or non, or chareva, completely non-existent. It's not a threat, Esav, when Yaakov is strong. When you build up the Yetzer HaTayv, when you're learning and you're davening and you're really a Ben Torah and you're doing the right thing, you're hanging around with the right chaver, and you're and you feel good about your ruchnias, that means you have a very strong Yaakov inside of you, and that means that Esav is not going to give you such a problem. It's, the Yetzer is never going to be dead. but unfortunately, but you have to, but you can really neuter the kayach of the Yetzara by strengthening the Yetzara Taiv. Ula'ay milam yemet. When, if Yerushalayim is strong, it's bevinyana, then Kesaria is bechorbanu. When you're able to strengthen the Yaakov, Esav is very shvach. Ubenaisav, and furthermore, v'rav yavet soyer, ki ena matar lahamas leitzahara, levat lekalo kami efsher. So, v'rav yavet soyer means that the strong one, the not strong one is going to serve. What does that mean? I just said a statement which is really not true. I said before, you know, that unfortunately we're not able to kill our Yetzirah. We don't really want to kill our Yetzirah, because the Yetzirah is supposed to be subservient to the Yetzirah. We don't want to kill our Yetzirah. Killing Yetzirah is a terrible thing. Why is it a terrible thing? Because we really need a Yetzirah in our life, in a sense. You just have to make sure that it's properly leashed and harnessed. It's good to have like a, you know, a proverbial, you know, some, you know, there's a guy once on my block, and he was like, he bought himself a new pit bull, and it's the scariest, as a, you know, it's like a really, it could rip people apart, and he was like walking around with it, and he just got it, he's like a Meshuggah guy, and he was like, he wasn't on a leash. And like I said, are you crazy? Put the pit bull on a leash. You got a pit bull, very nice. I'm walking with my little kids. Like he's gonna rip, you know. He's like smoking on Shabbos. He's like, you know, no, it's fine. I said, you don't even understand what you have. This is a very dangerous dog. You have to keep it on a leash. You have to leash it in. You want the protection of a pit bull. That's fine. But you have to protect it. The HR is a pit bull. If you're able to leash it, it's a good thing. If you're able to control the Yetzirah, it's a very good thing. It's not something you want to kill. They once tried to kill, you know, there's a Gemara that says that they wanted, there was, they killed the Avodah Zarah of, the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. Back in the olden days, it's hard to believe, but like whatever the world goes crazy now for Arayas, you know, the whole world is you know, everything is going crazy over Arayas. That's like the big draw today. In the olden days, it wasn't such a draw. In the olden days, Avodah Zarah was like the big, you know, Mishagas. Everybody was going crazy over Avodah Zarah. And it was a very dangerous thing because Klal Yisrael was really getting swept away one generation after another to the Yetzirah. So Chazal got together. It's a fascinating Gemara. Chazal got together and they said, we're going to daven to Rabban Yishalem to get rid of the Yetzirah. To get rid of the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So people should stop having this crazy desire for Avodah Zarah. So they did that, and that's why today we don't really have, not such a, you know, there are yechidim that are, you know, that are gechap by Yetzirah, but most people...
From my opinion, actually I come to do internship in Chinuch with Shemokya exactly, I people go, he said, that's not a Yetzirah, it's just because. Looking for where.
Okay. So, but the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says that they said, you know what, we're on a roll. We got rid of the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. Now let's get rid of the big Yetzirah. Let's get rid of the Avodah Zarah of Arayas. That's really the, you know, that's also very powerful. So they davened. They taka got rid of it, but then the next morning they wanted to make scrambled eggs for breakfast, and they go to the, you know, the chicken coop, and there's no eggs. Because the chickens lost their taiva for tashmish, so maybe there was no eggs. There was no calves were being born, no babies were being born in the maternity ward in the hospital. Everybody, like, if you kill the Yetzirah, it's, meaning, the point of the Gemara is that you need a Yetzirah for Arayas. Without a Yetzirah for Arayas, no one would get married, no one would have children, no one would have families, no one, you know, because that's a very big, it's a very big drive, that Yetzirah, that makes the world go round. Let's say, you know, somebody said, I want to be a very big anav. I want to, you know, I don't want to have any gaiva. Gaiva is a good thing. When you're, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to say that a bachur should not learn Musar Svarim with the chapters about gaiva. Because for a yeshiva bachur, that's not to say you should be boastful, of course, and have, you know, terrible forms of gaiva. But you need an ego. If you don't have an ego, you're not going to want to make a siyum on Masechah Shabbos. If you don't have like real drive, and I want to make a huge siyum on Masechah Shabbos. I want to go to MetLife Stadium in 7.5 years from now and tell people I made a siyum on Shas. If you don't have that gaiva to Kedusha, that holy gaiva to really outperform, then you're not going to have any. You're just going to lie in your bed all day and watch video and play video games. You're not going to have that. Gaiva is sometimes very important. Without gaiva, you see the Midtown Manhattan, the skyline, and all the big buildings. Who built those buildings? Those buildings were built by people that were looking, to make trophies for themselves that they could brag that, I built the tallest building and the most high-tech building and the most beautiful architecture building. And they, without that, you wouldn't have a world. If we take away gaiva, if we take away ego, if we take away all Yetzirah, you want to keep the Yetzirah. You need the Yetzirah in you. Yetzirah is very powerful. The only thing is that the Yetzirah has to be leashed. It has to be harnessed to do good. I once wanted to say that's a pshat. There's a Gemara that says, "Ki pagabach menuvel zeh." When you bump into this grotesque thing, meaning the Yetzirah, mashcheu lebeis medrash. You schlep it to the beis medrash. Why should you schlep it? You should leave it outside the beis medrash. Why you want to bring the Yetzirah into the beis medrash? The answer is, oh yeah, you're darn right. You want to bring it into the beis medrash because beis medrash is a very important place. To have the Yetzirah, not to have bad Yetzirah, but to that supercharged turbo drive inside of me, which is the Yetzirah, I don't want to completely kill it. If I kill it, then I'm dead. Without the Yetzirah, the human being doesn't have that ability to move and to grow and to want to be bigger and to want to be greater and to want to produce and be successful. All of that is really the Yetzirah, that. It could be used for bad, but if you harness it the right way, it could be used for good. So this is the Das Torah of what we should be doing with our lives. We have a Yaakov inside of us. We have an Esav inside of us. And sometimes when we have this inner struggle, like, who am I? But what's going on with me? Am I Yeshiva Bach or am I a bummy guy? Because like some days I really like to learn. And some days I like to watch movies and go places with my old friends and do stuff that I'm not proud of. And then I want to, once again be a firm boy. And then I'm back and forth. I'm vacillating. So what do I do? So Chazal say, or the Pasuk says, that you go, Vateach Lishus Hashem, and it tells you, La'im Melam Yemen. I'm telling you what to do. It's you have the Yetzirah Tov and you have the Yetzirah. That's human. That's normal. The point is, you have to be miskaber your Yetzer HaTayv. You have to make sure that your Yetzer HaTayv is powerful. You have to fill that mind with Torah, with mitzvahs, with chesed, with activities, with doing a lot of good stuff, so much so that you're so empowering the Tzad HaTayv, the Yerushalayim inside of you, that the Caesarea, the Rome, the Esav inside of you is very vanquished. You don't want to kill it. The Rav Yavetzar, the younger one, meaning the Yetzirah, stays alive, but it becomes a servant to the stronger one, to the Yaakov. Because you want the Yetzirah, you don't want to neuter Yetzirah. People that lose all drive to do anything, that's called depression, and that's the worst thing that a person could be. Sometimes there's a guy in yeshiva, he's doing well, all of a sudden he stops showing up for davening. He's in bed all day, he doesn't want to get up, not for shachris, not for first Seder, not for mincha, not for college, not for, he's just, that's dead. What happened to him? At least the guy that has the Yetzirah, he's going, he's running, he's doing, he's alive. A person that has no Yetzirah, he's dead. He's basically spiritually dead, he's flatlined. So you want to have the Yetzirah, you want to keep the Yetzirah alive, but you want to make sure that the Yetzirah Tayyib is dominant over the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is alive, but you're draining the energy and sapping all the power out of the Yetzirah for the Kayach of Tayyib. And this, says Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, is the takeaway from the beginning of this week's parasha. This amazing Yesod of Yaakov and Esav, the epic struggle between these two forces that are really not external forces as much as internal forces, because we all have a little Yaakov and a little Esav right inside of us. And the takeaway is that you have to know to, if you're strong like crazy with the Yetzer HaTayiv, the Yetzer HaRa will be automatically diminished like a seesaw. But you want to keep that seesaw somewhat shaking because you want to be able to take the kayach of the Esav, and Yaakov will be able to, just like he stole the brachas of Esav, you have to, the Yaakov also wants to sap all of the nutrients and all of the kayach, all of that energy, that drive, that ambition from the Yetzer HaRa, and harness it all in the direction of Tayv.